You're listening to The Kylo Show, the podcast where we talk about how to keep your love on no matter what and why whole healthy families are going to save the world. And it starts right now.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to The Kylo Show. We are doing a fun series on my new book, Imperfect Parenting.
Yeah, and the crowd goes wild.
So I know. Cool. It's kind of wild. I told Ben on the way here, it's just weird. Just kind of weird to say that I have a book and trying to teach out of it. And I mean, I've been teaching out of it for years, but now it's just in a form, like a physical form. It's so new.
Exciting.
Exciting, nervous. But it comes out in May, so it's not really available yet, but it looks great. I invite you all to
the journey.
Yes. So come and join us as we talk about it and discuss different chapters that are in it and things that I felt were really important to put in there. So super fun.
Yep.
And because of that.
Congratulations.
Oh, thanks.
Yes.
You were.
I don't want to say long overdue, but long awaited. Long awaited. Let's say that.
Yeah. He's been waiting for a long time. You know, I think because I waited, I've got some really great stories.
It's true. It's true.
The Lord knows the timing.
It was my impatience.
Okay. Well, but I wanted to bring on Ben and my mom, Sherry.
They invited us back.
Making her second appearance.
Her second appearance.
Because Ben is the other part of this imperfect parenting journey that we're on together. And I came from imperfect parents, but they left me well.
Boy, did you ever. Uh-huh. We did our best.
We did.
To be imperfect.
Congratulations.
Over.
You just wanted to live up to the title of your book.
But it does say connection over perfection. That's the other part. Good. So you did that well, which is why we're probably here at this table.
That was definitely our goal.
That's the testimony, is we're all still connected, which I'd say that all the kiddos are still connected. So good job, parents. Good job.
That's the goal.
Ain't over. It ain't over.
Well, one of the chapters I have in my book is talking about God's design for family and really the function that we all have in it and the value of knowing those functions. So I don't know if you realize, but there's a male and a female, two sets of those sitting at this table.
Yes.
And I'm pretty sure that was the start of God's design for family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Amen.
Is that is how this starts out, and it's a big priority because God has different roles for each one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and knowing those roles is really important.
It's like they're designed for those roles.
That's it. That is the purpose behind it. Mm-hmm. I like to remind all the newly married that God said, "Be fruitful and multiply." That was like a command. Mm-hmm. It didn't make the Ten Commandments list, but it was like one of the first ones.
Yeah.
Like, go, make babies.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we only made three. You only made three. I don't know if that's enough. I don't really know how many we were supposed to. You didn't give a number. Otherwise, I probably would have done exactly that.
Well, they each have two or three, and then there's multiplication happening.
It's true.
Yeah,
true.
We're adding. Yeah. We're adding to the carbon footprint. One.
Be fruitful and add.
Plus one.
Oh, my goodness. So, I think I just want to open up this discussion of the design for family and God being a part of that and his heart behind it and your take, your thoughts. You've all read my chapter and... Yeah, so I'm just curious, want to bring that into the table.
Yeah, well, you know, we consider that the Trinity is the first family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's this triune set of relationships there, and you begin to recognize the potential power struggle that happens when you have different, unique functions, purposes, really, in many ways, and you have a unity that happens because of love. I mean, I think the idea that perfect mature love casts out fear is presented to us in the Trinity. Like, okay, this, there's no boss, which mm-hmm. is kind of weird because we're always looking for the boss. So let's sort for the boss. So who now, would be the boss?
Either want to be the boss or I want to know who the boss is.
Yeah, or somehow, you there know, pull the be. Boss card when you want yeah. it your way. And yet the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are all working to serve one another perfectly to the point to where you can't tell them apart. You really have to like, okay, this is Jesus's part right here. Jesus came to the earth. All right. Now that's his part. And then the Holy Spirit, well, his job is to fill out all the Christians and to raise Jesus from the dead so that he's not still in the cave. And the Father's job really is to kind of like set the whole deal up and, you know, send the Son. And
Because I'm Jesus.
But it is this, I would say, impossible example, but it is the example. It really is our design is to replicate that mm-hmm. again and again in every home. And that's what makes the family, A, so vital mm-hmm. and Z, a target of God's enemy.
Yeah.
And so we sit around and we watch today the deconstruction of that. Mm-hmm. Let's make everyone afraid of everyone. You know, yeah. nobody's safe anywhere. Be scared out of your brain all day long. That is Satan's kingdom mm-hmm. yep. and his design. So turn men against women, women against children, children against men,
yeah.
you know, and just keep this going. Yeah. And you're like, oh, okay, well, this is chaos.
Yeah.
Absolute chaos. Yeah. So that's, we've been saying whole healthy families are going to save the world. That's what we're talking about.
There you exactly go. There's your description.
Everybody turn around, repent, and move back in the direction of the Trinity. Mm-hmm. And that would be our goal.
Yeah. Which you got kind of screwed up in the garden because that's we try to find a boss.
We try to be a boss.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Yeah, I won't be the rule maker.
I yank power. Yeah, yeah.
There's so many inside jokes going on.
We're having too much fun.
Yeah, that one I got.
Yeah. But we, you know, that has been the tension, and then we, you know, in Genesis, I've loved pulling it apart, and it's probably for another book. Wait, I didn't go that far into it. It's just one chapter in this book, so mm-hmm. you only have to hold on for one chapter in the theology part. But you know, understanding the role that an earthly father has, that's kind of our mirroring. That's when we've got an earthly father, we go, oh, that's probably like my heavenly father. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know if you realize, but your earthly father is full of holes. He's missing a bunch of stuff. And then the Holy Spirit reflecting our mother. And, well, she's got a bunch of flaws, too. I mean, if we come from Eve, she's the one like, yeah, hey, I like power. Yeah. And then the children, you know, the Adam and Eve's kids, one of them's a murderer.
Yeah.
It's just, this gets real messy real fast. So we've been kind of messed up from the beginning, unless we're willing to look and see what is the real design that we're chasing after yeah. instead of this skewed version that we kind of got introduced to in the beginning. And so, again, whole healthy families are going to save the world. And I think Ben and I are always talking about how important your marriage covenant relationship is as leading the family, husband and wife, man and woman coming together in full unity with the Lord, so that we can lead our children and our family well. Mm-hmm. And that just is a big call for us personally. I think that's kind of been our journey as well. Yeah. In that.
And I think one of the things that I keep thinking about that really is a core stone in Loving on Purpose is the personal responsibility piece.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, even watching Adam in the garden, he stepped back and said, well, the woman you gave me, God.
That's passive man.
Yeah. He disengaged his own responsibility and the responsibility of his family. Mm-hmm. And he kind of left her out to dry a little bit, so to say. Like what would have happened if he stepped up and said, I'm going to take this one. And we're going to do something different.
Or he grabbed the snake by the throat, cut his head
ripped
off,
it in half.
You know, and didn't even let him talk to his wife. Can you imagine that? You go, hey, girl, what's going on?
Rewriting history is what's happening in this show.
We would all change the Bible.
Be naked.
Just imagine.
At this table, that would be awkward.
No.
It wouldn't be awkward because it's normal.
It's because it's true, I guess.
But let's move on. It'd be cold. Sherry, save us.
I just think that whole family unit of a mom and dad and kids is truly under attack. And it's just broke down over the years, you know, years and years and years. And it's there's new norms. And I'm cautious to talk about it because I don't want to shame or guilt anyone that has gone through divorce and all those things. And if you know us well, you know we would never want someone to stay in a abusive type home and all those things. Right. But that said, I think the one moment in my life where I realized so heavily the internal desire of a child to have a connected mom and dad, I was 30, I think, or 30. No, I was probably 32 or something. And you and I, Brittany and I, went down to Mexico to the mission and did some work down there and had fun with our friends down there. We love them. And we came home, and the boys were little. So Taylor was probably 2, and Levi was, you know, 4. Mm-hmm. And Danny, they were all happy to see us. But Dad was, like, scurrying everybody off to bed, and I thought, oh, he wants to spend some time with me.
He wants to practice the beginning of garden maybe.
Something like that.
Run around naked.
Yeah. And so we're sitting there, and he said, I need to tell you something. And again, my parents divorced when I was 1. Mm-hmm. So my mom and dad divorced when I was 1. My stepdad came in the scene when I was 6. He's the only dad I ever really knew. And so Danny says, I need to tell you something. And he said, while you're in Mexico, your dad has died. Your natural father passed away. And I remember, I'm married, 3 kids. Don't even really have a connection with him. And the first words out of my mouth were, I guess my parents aren't going to get back together again. Yeah. So, like, I just was shocked. I shocked myself. Like, where did that thing come from inside me that I would just have this desire that this mom that I loved and this person, it was a mythical creature, really. I mean, I got to know him a little bit when I was 19. But my desire, this little girl inside me, thought maybe the perfect world would have been if I had been able to stay with my mom and my original dad. It was shocking to me. And I think it came from the garden. I think it came from this internal thing that was the goal in the garden. But it does get broke down and has broken down. And I think parents just, you have to figure it out. Mm-hmm. You have to go forward and you have to create a connected family, no matter what's happened. But I just remember that was shocking to me.
Mm-hmm. Yep, this stuff goes deep.
Yeah,
working with foster children and adoptive care.
Yeah,
same thing. You know, this child was just tortured, and their remedy to life is to be restored to their parents.
Yeah,
yeah.
You're like, wow.
Yeah.
And it's just eternal. It just goes.
Yeah.
And it's really, really tough stuff to separate.
I met with and meet with quite a it's more women than men, but women that are single moms now and, you know that God's design for family is, you know, this covenant relationship and this hopelessness that will set in of I won't ever have, my kids will never have. And I love to be the champion of hope.
Yeah.
Of that, you know, God, I think Bill Johnson says God can win with a pair of twos. Yeah. You know, that that no story is complete until he says it's complete. And our willingness to be open, that's to good. Be restored, and our yeah. willingness to be welcomed into the plans that he has, which are greater than we ever can imagine. I mean, like, look, the two of you, 15 divorces behind you, mm-hmm. and somehow you two decided to stay married. I mean, that's the only thing that you knew.
Right.
Which is crazy.
Right. And, you know, I was raised by a single mom, yeah. really. I mean, yeah, I had a stepfather for 3 years, and my dad left when I was five. So I don't even know what those 5 years look like, really. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I have no real relational context with my dad anywhere in my memory.
Yeah.
And then I had a stepfather from 12 to 15, pretty key formative years, and then boom, he's out of here. So I know what God can do
yeah.
with you,
yeah.
with your child. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not your inabilities or your situation is not big enough to ruin God's plan for right. your children.
Absolutely.
It's just
that's right.
not going to, you know, you're not that big. I know.
You're not that powerful.
Yeah. Do a good job with the responsibility that you have mm-hmm. when you have it.
Yeah.
Nail that. Okay, yeah. Nail that. But outside of that, that is not your responsibility. Mm-hmm. You don't have control of that. Yeah.
Your responsibility really is staying connected to the Father and leaning into, I am maturing and being perfected in His love. Mm-hmm. So how do I come into alignment with that and trust that God does all the things that we don't know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I was again talking to this woman, and her son's coming into teen years, and she's like, he doesn't have a healthy male figure. I don't know what to do. And I'm like, you are going to exhaust yourself by trying to solve a problem that you need to give to the Father.
Mm-hmm.
Because you'll probably make a mess of it by trying to control it.
Mm-hmm.
And trust that God cares about your children just as much, if not absolutely more, than yeah. you do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that control piece just reminded me of a different dad I've been talking to. And he has, I think, four or five boys, maybe six. That's a lot. And I think they're 10 and under.
Yeah.
And he's been talking through his own internal fear from his own experience. So right. things he struggled with, things that he kind of like, he went on a track and messed his life up for a while. And he watches his boys who are, I mean, one, the oldest is 10, six-year-olds, making some choices that he thinks this is going to set them on a path that's going to ruin their life.
Mm-hmm.
Or you know, and he has a very different environment that him and his wife have created
mm-hmm.
that he didn't have growing up. And
yeah.
it's just a different, and at the same time, he's not that powerful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God's paying such close attention. But what happens, I think, is when we get afraid, you know, you've heard this, if you listen to this podcast, you've heard this multiple times, you know, you're going to hear it again. But what happens is we want to control.
Yeah.
The fear. I want to control this thing because I hate this feeling. I want this to go away. And it just compounds the problem.
Mm-hmm.
So that's been my conversation with him in the same way is, man, you are actually doing a great job. He describes things he's doing. He's taking his boys out on these trips and doing mm-hmm. a great job. But a lot of the motivation right now is based on, I don't want them to end up like me. So just paying attention to that piece right there is such a big game changer.
It's so hard not to do that. Mm-hmm. It's so hard not to try to create a world that you didn't have just knowing that it's the solution. You know, it's just so hard not to do that.
Yeah.
You know, I know I did that.
I think there's moments I wonder if you did that with me in my early, you know, all the little camping things, like all the, I mean, I just think about all the little things that you did in the season. You were so busy going to school like crazy, going to working full time, having trying to figure out marriage. I mean, how many things did you do in hopes that you were going to rewrite the story and the lane by these one encounters, when really it just comes down to connecting me to the Father and staying connected to my heart?
I love my children so terribly. I was just like, I just love you so much. And I don't know that I had no connection to, I'm trying to undo something as much as it was, who wouldn't want to do this with their kids? You know, who wouldn't want to be out there on the, you know, a backpacking trip, or who wouldn't want to be at everything that they ever did that had a ball involved, or how, you know, be at BMX track, or mm-hmm. their plays or whatever. Who wouldn't want to just be there? And I think, well, that was the big breakdown for me when I was at this conference in North Carolina, and Larry Randolph was up there, and he was talking about the father's blessing, you know, and this whole thing. And I don't know where this came from. I must have been 37 years old, somewhere in there. But this tidal wave of my dad left our family when, and I looked at my kids about your ages, you know. Mm. And it hit me, like, how could I just walk away from that and never talk to you again? Mm-hmm. And boom, that was where my father wound came to the surface in my life. And I was wrung out like a sponge. And Bill Derryberry was there. Mm-hmm. Chris Valentin was there. There were a couple of other men from our church there. And, you know, Bill laid his hands on me and released a father's blessing.
That's awesome.
Charlie Harper was there. It was, you know, just epic God moment. You know, I mean, I am under a chair, you know, just sobbing my head off. I think that was the first time I'd ever really got in touch with the pain of what that even meant. And so
powerful.
I can't say that I was trying to undo something as much as I was trying to invest something. You know, like the is there something I won't give these kids? No, there's nothing I won't give these kids. And I'm going to try to come up with some stuff.
Hey, Brittany here. Yes, you normally hear me on The Kylo Show, but I am interrupting The Kylo Show right now to tell you about my book, Imperfect Parenting, Connection Over Perfection, is coming out Mother's Day. So check that out. But before that, I've got a conference happening. I know, at the beginning of May. May's going to be great. So if you want to come to the conference with all of my friends, Seth Dahl, Lauren and Jason Valentin, Danny Silk, all these wonderful people are coming. Make sure you go to imperfectparenting.co to find out the details, and hopefully I see you there. I think what you're just saying about your father wounds and kind of going and getting them healed, to do our best as a parent, we have to be willing to go and find those wounds, and address them, and go on a journey to, okay, this is a lie I've been believing, or this is something that I've been doing even without. I'm trying to invest something, but I didn't realize, oh, I had this gaping thing that I needed to mend, because then I'm going to be even greater with this thing healed up. That feels like something to be aware of in, you know, when we're parenting these kids and the design of family, is that, okay, what are things I need to address that are just broken spots when it comes to the father? And can I see that? Do I know how to see that? Am I willing to see that? And what am I going to do with that? I think that's, again, we ended before in the last one of being willing to look at the stuff. If you don't look at it, it doesn't mean it's not there, you know. It's fine.
Nothing to see here.
Exactly. But it becomes such a huge limiter to you as a parent when you're walking around with what you thought were two arms, but really you only have one because you won't address.
You're really good with one arm, though.
Yeah, you're probably really great with one arm, but you're like, okay, I actually have this other arm, but it's just I'm unwilling to look at it for it to get healed and mended. And, you know, there's... many moments that I think through different sozos or different processes of being willing to hear feedback from our kids, especially as they've grown and learned how to articulate themselves. I remember taking feedback recently from Adeline on my addressing a situation. I was harsh and hard and critical. And then I asked Adeline, like, well, I was fine. What do you think about that? And she's like, well, I think it was an accident. And if you did something on accident, I don't think that's how you would want to be responded to.
Okay.
Wow. I've got something
to hit me with your best shot.
Go figure out, like, where did that come from? You know, why did I default to that? And what's going on? And I think the other thing, too, it feels like sometimes the father wounds that we have aren't a one-and-done moment.
Yeah.
We're always hoping for a one-and-done. Like, one-hit wonder, yes, okay, I just sobbed for 2 hours and we're good. And never again will it ever show up. I hate to tell you, that's probably not true.
Probably not true.
I love that. You know, raising kids that are able to confront their parents is, and I don't mean harshly, I just mean feedback. Like, they're little people and they're learning that skill. That's awesome. I think the in all that we're talking about, you know, you don't know what you don't know. So you're just, this is my normal. You get married and this other person has a normal and it's weird.
Different.
Or feels weird. Different.
Story.
But I think creating a community around you that's helping you grow as well, because if you isolate yourself, you're never going to get feedback. And so I remember my stuff was, I didn't understand it until I had a revelation, like Dad was talking about, just being on the floor at that conference and crying. But for me, I was raised in a very abusive type home, and I didn't even know it. I didn't even know that it was, I knew it was dysfunctional. Mm-hmm. I knew we had problems, but my parents were kind of, you know, economic, middle class. We had a nice house and new cars, and they were business owners and very community leaders and all that stuff. And because of that, I thought that was, that's as good as it gets, right? Like, that's, you know, I wasn't living in poverty and I didn't have the obstacles that some other families around me had. But because of that, I didn't look at it hard enough until I think you were probably six or something, which is why I always say Danny and I started getting better at about eight, you know, being married 12 years, and he always says 15. But I think we started working on it when about 12. But anyways, I remember, I tell the story, but I was watching a TV after, you know, all the kids were asleep or playing, and I was watching the show, and it was on abuse. And they kind of laid out the behaviors that someone has when they're come out of an abusive home. And I was just shocked. Like, oh my gosh, this is how I act. This is how I behave. And it was related to an orphan spirit and survival. You know, one of my first sozos, really what was revealed was I wasn't protected. I always say when you have six brothers and unsupervised time, you're either a science project or a princess. You depends on the day, right? But dysfunctional stuff going on. And so once I got that revelation, what am I going to do with it? Like Ben was saying earlier in the last episode of, you know, you can have declarations or whatever, but you have to put them in your life. And I was like, oh my gosh, I was abused. And so what am I going to do? So I started going. I had to go weekly to a class to get better. And it was a sacrifice for all of us for me to do that. But I did it for a year. And that was really the beginning of, you know, Dad was already going to school and learning some skills. But he'd come home and I'd be like, what book did you get that from? Or what'd you learn today?
So
you know,
encouraging.
I was super sass.
We call that synergy.
Because he would try it, he'd try it out on me and be like, I am, you know, superwoman. It will not work on me. But then when I started looking at myself, then I wanted to work on it and stop the behavior because I knew it was going to hurt my family. And you were, that's the part you remember, is those years of us duking it out and trying to figure it out. Those were the thick of it, you know. Mm-hmm. But if you don't look at it,
yeah,
you'll never change it. And God is waiting there for you.
Yeah.
He really is waiting for you to go, oh, sure, let's partner together and take care of this for a better future.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm just sitting here thinking about a certain part of my life and an issue that Brittany looked at for years. She would say, yeah, you gonna deal with that one day? Mm-hmm. What? Deal with what? There's no problem there. Okay, move on. And you gonna deal with that one day? What? Stop pointing at it. Leave it alone.
It's your problem. Okay.
But it was this, I just wasn't willing or wasn't ready or didn't know how or was really scared, I think, is part of it. I was so scared. If I look at that, what's going to happen? What's it going to mean for me?
Yeah.
And, you know, if that thing unravels, I'm going to feel so out of control that it's better if I just leave it in the box. And I think the day that I opened that box, which I think is actually how I processed it, was as this box I've kept closed. And once I was willing to open it, the Lord, first of all, met me there.
Yeah.
And something shifted in my life. And I had a wife who was pointing at it for years and was patient.
Sometimes not so patient.
Imperfect patience.
Imperfectly patient. Book coming out next May. Oh.
No. It's a whole series of imperfection.
How to be imperfect.
But it's just, that was the shift, which I think is so many people's story, is it's not always on the timeline that we need or want or expect, but there is an opportunity. And there really is a grace coming your way. So I think my encouragement in there, especially to parents, is what Sherry's saying. Just be willing to look at it. Mm-hmm. And if you need help, there's people out there. Go get some help.
Yeah.
Because it's a game changer.
It is. A question for all of you is, you guys got saved, and that radically changed the idea and the concept of family, because you got completely different lenses of, oh, this is what we're doing. But what do you, if you were to give away to the listeners, like, the importance of coming to alignment with the Father and His design for family, like, what did that change in you as a father, you as a mother, giving to us as kids? Like, what did it ignite? What did it bring fruit? Like, how did it change when you knew your identity, your position, what you're supposed to be bringing, instead of just hoping I'm doing this well, but really kind of coming into that attunement with the Father?
For me, I'm going to say this feels like hindsight, that answering that question feels like hindsight, like, all right, I got it all figured out now. But
in this moment, of right now,
today, I'm actually writing a book right now about men and what you should have figured out by now. You know, so that's kind of unfair that I'm going to answer like this. But I think in the Father, getting to know the Father as my dad, you know, as my example, as my leader, as created in His image, I see that my job as a man in my home, as the father, is to protect my family. Mm-hmm. So I'll be the one getting up about that noise, you know, in the middle of the night. I'll be the one walking around in his underwear.
Killing spiders.
Or I will be protecting my family from the darkness, you know, that in my own life, by keeping the light on and by keeping my love on. Mm-hmm. Shameless plug. That's my job. Nobody can do my job to protect my family from what's out there or what's in me than me. Yeah. And then my job is to provide for my family, to find opportunities, create opportunities, to take opportunities, to learn and grow and not just settle back and be a powerless victim of the economy or of my circumstances or whatever. I gotta go figure this out so that I can nourish my environment, primarily my family, and then connect. It's my job to love my family, to love my wife, to love my children, like Christ loved the church. You know, that, and I gave him, he gives himself for their benefit, for their nourishing and cherishing. So provide, protect, connect are the adjustments and the growth areas for me as the man of the house. That's job one for me, is take care of those things.
Yeah. Love it. It's great.
I think mine's similar. I my quest really is to love God, because he always, he's always loving us. And I think that's, as we, that's kind of the model. And I know, I used to say, my goal in life is to get my kids to fall madly in love with me. So that when we faced any problem, we were connected. And so, I mean, that I can, I knew my life to be dysfunctional as a young person. And what I learned through loving God and him loving me is that I have a different identity now. I'm not an orphan. I'm not alone. I have a different, you know, identity. So I can walk into situations with that identity. I think it was Russell Evans that said, I mean, it was a long ago preach, I heard him say, I can either live from the conditions of my life or the position I have in Christ. And so I, because I work on my identity, that I am a daughter and I'm loved and I'm not alone, all the things that are anti-orphan, I walk with that knowledge into every condition I'm experiencing. Mm-hmm. And so I have authority over it because I'm a child of God, then rather than just, you know, just having the waves hit me and life be so hard. It's like I have to know the position I have. Mm-hmm. And I think for my kids, even if nothing else, the model of I am, and I honestly, in my dysfunction, I think my mom did that really well. She was a fierce, fierce woman that loved her kids, and we all knew that, you know.
My kids know that.
Yes.
And which they never met her, so.
Yeah. So I think that's what I want to give to my kids is God loves you that fiercely. He mm-hmm. loves you that yeah. much. He loves you enough to change your identity. Where human parents fail, are imperfect, God is a perfect parent. And his kids went awry too. But if anyone should have perfect kids, it should be God, right? But
what did he do
there's
wrong?
This thing called choice.
Yes.
Yeah.
What do you, all right, what about you, husband of mine? What do you?
Husband of yours. Mm-hmm. I think it's a couple of things. You know, I would echo everything Danny said as the man piece that he's taught me over the years. Mm-hmm. But I was sitting there thinking about a question that Jason Valentin has really taught me, and it's, God, will you come father me in this place? I think just that practice and that question of, I need a father, and I'm actually connected to the best one there is. Mm-hmm. And so just the practice of, God, come father me in this thing where I'm stuck, where I'm learning, where I need help, where I want to grow, and protect, connect, and provide peace as well.
I think for me, you know, I feel like the father's always kind of like if I was on first base and I'm trying to figure out if I should steal second or not, he's just right there whispering like, are you ready? What do you want to do? It just feels like this partnership and this guide, this coach. And so this covering, yeah. You know, that's been my identity with the fathers that he's always available to me to give guidance and yeah. He's there for my best. And I think that's the place that I've always know him as. And in this season of parenting the last few years, I feel like I have developed a relationship with the Holy Spirit, which is, I don't know, it feels like a secret weapon. Mm-hmm. That's the best way I could describe it. It feels like this almost more tangible thing that I get to walk alongside and have. And knowing that, you know, I'm so much of a representation to my children as the Holy Spirit, I think being present to listen and be the comforter in those really hard spaces, which is probably something I naturally struggle with, is to bring compassion and empathy in that moment. I want to correct, like that's just kind of my default. And so in knowing that the Lord is such a presence of encouragement and guidance, and wanting to lean in and really use the Holy Spirit as a place to lead my children as an access point to hearing the Father's voice, especially as we watch Delaney leaving more and more, I feel like I'm a believer of you. I believe in you, and I am not your source. You've got to go to that source. And so it's been, it's fun to have this position of confidence, and I know who I am, and I know this is as far as I'm going to go, and I have to be okay with letting go, and you get to go on your own adventure. But I think that's in this swirl of parenting and knowing my relationship with the Father, and really kind of, okay, Lord, I'm going to trust you more than ever, because I'm so scared. She's getting in her boat. She's going to leave. I can't see her anymore. You know, there's just all these places of.
So true.
Okay.
She could be getting married to a 19-year-old. There's
there
that.
You go.
She could. That could be happening. But
no comment.
She's not. We told Adeline that she can't leave the house because this is the year that I would have found Ben. I think the awareness of how accessible the Father is and the Holy Spirit to be such a partnership. Yeah. And I love when I make space and he immediately comes in. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And that's been our prayer for our children too, is that as they kind of launch off into their own little world, their own adventure, that they would actually have that access to. That we've modeled it in our home, that we've practiced it. And that was the thing I was going to say earlier, is just the just the access point they have to hear the voice of God. Mm-hmm. This becomes your rudder. This becomes your, you know, the thing I'm talking about, that we are fathered and the option, that you get to have the same thing. Mm-hmm. Like I think about Adeline, you know, when we moved schools and we told her, well, you have a choice here, but go ask the Father first. Mm-hmm. And she came back. She's like, he talked to me. That's what we're doing.
He told me to trust him.
Yeah.
And that he's for me, which, I mean, at that time, it was 2 years ago. So I think that's we keep talking to Delaney because, you know, college and all the things of the next stage of her life. And a lot of it is, what are the things that you want to develop in your life that are going to be most beneficial to you next? Because you've gone through school. But what are the next things? Mm-hmm. And she's come back to us with, I want to dedicate the next year to really developing my relationship with the Lord on my own. And I'm like, okay, all right, high five, honey. You know, I think we're winning if that is the focus of.
Yep.
I think this is going to be the next beneficial thing in my life is, all right, Father, who are you and I, completely alone from everybody else, knowing that I can trust you.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
It is.
It's going to be awesome.
It's exciting.
It's going to be awesomely scary.
That too.
It's terrifyingly awesome. I can't wait.
It's weird being in this seat. I've watched other people in other seats. We're in this seat.
I
want
to go back
now.
To a comment you made about talking to Addie, but you can't go anywhere for right now because this is how old I was when I met your father. I just want you to think about.
You didn't know that was going to be.
Hearing your mother say to me, I think.
There's something different about this.
I think there's something going on there. I think this isn't the guy. I think this is, you know. Twitter. I was like, what? She's a child.
She's 14.
She's a child.
I didn't say they were going to get married, but I'm like, I've never heard her. I've seen her act like this before.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I was like. Okay, lock her in the cage.
I went back to Australia for a while. Yeah. I went far away.
That's, in my mind, that is the best place to have a boyfriend for your teenage daughter, right? That's there, right. Is in Australia.
Other side of the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Down under.
Yeah. Well.
Parents, you're out there doing a good job.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's it. And God has a beautiful design for your family. I think that's the biggest thing that should be the takeaway.
Yeah. And whole, healthy people. yeah. can build whole healthy right. families.
Absolutely.
You know, that's really the sequence here. We kind of jumped ahead to whole healthy families are going to save the world, but you got to look at the ingredients here. And there's some work to do. It really is. And it has everything to do with getting back to God's design mm-hmm. for family is embodied in the Trinity, that triune relationship yeah. of fearless love, support, service, sacrifice, honor, mm-hmm. all of that is at the paramount. Really, if this is going to work, then we are in a constant adjust and repentance in many ways, yeah. like, oh, yeah. I see this different now. Okay.
Yeah.
There I go. And now I pursue that I will command me in that direction to be more and more like who God shows me himself to be.
Yeah. Yeah. So good.
Awesome.
Come on.
All right. Well, just remember, whole healthy families are going to save the world.
Yeah.
It's true.
And thanks for joining us on The Kylo Show. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening. Never miss an episode of The Kylo Show by subscribing to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or watch us on the Loving on Purpose YouTube channel. Don't forget to submit your questions and testimonies to thekyloshow.com. The Kylo Show is produced by Ali Armading, co-produced by Ashley Beck and Anna Hill, sound engineer and edited by Taylor Silk, and show promoter Christian Zamora. Don't forget, whole healthy families, gonna save the world.